Welcome back to the Student Union, everyone. I'm your host, the Chancellor,
Pastor Marcus.
Great to have you with us here at LCMSU. A little bit of Monty Python and the Holy Grail to introduce you to today's interview. As they chant, Merciful Lord Jesus, grant them rest. And that, of course, is what we wish for all of you on campus, and as you seek to hopefully develop the sound pattern of your own devotional life. So, let's talk about your devotional life.
Consult the Book of Mormon.
Welcome into the Student Union, Reverend David Kine. How are you doing today, Dave?
Good, Pastor Zill. How are you doing?
Hey, it's great to have you with us today, all the way from probably frigid cold Minnesota. Although you've been in probably 3 months of winter at this point, right?
It's actually been the most beautiful fall we've ever had.
Oh, really?
Indian summer, it just goes on forever here.
Okay. Ever since I moved to New Mexico from Wyoming, I always have to try to get digs in to our cold weather folks. But we're happy to have you with us today. Pastor Kine is the campus pastor at University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis, Minnesota, serving students at the University of Minnesota. Pastor Kine and I were classmates at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. I'm sorry.
Don't hold that against me.
Well, I can't, because I'd have to hold it against myself too. But we've got the stories. We've been good friends because we know way too much about each other. But it's great to have you with us today. For the sake of our listeners out there, some of which may not be familiar with ULC, we got a lot of ULCs out there, but ULC, University Lutheran Chapel in Minneapolis, give us a little background, a minute or two, about University Lutheran Chapel and what kind is going on this fall and what a typical week looks like with your college students up there.
Yeah, we're one of the oldest campus ministries in the country. Our place was founded way back in 1925, so going on 90 years
Get back in one of the two or three oldest, I think.
Yeah. I don't know exactly which one it is, but a long time at the U of M. And I've been there for almost 15 years now, so it's very much become home to me, and I love working with college students. It's just an exciting time to...
Now, you're originally from Wisconsin, right?
I am.
And you're a Packers fan, as I recall.
I am. Yeah, my blood is green and gold. So.
Okay, so it has, and you haven't become a Viking or anything.
Well, no, it's something about being a Packer fan. You stay a Packer fan for life.
There you go.
Yeah, so. But anyway, we're a campus ministry that turned into a regular congregation as well. So we've got students and families and a really healthy mix of people. And it's a pretty vibrant place every week. Filled with, we have a student house now on campus where we have our headquarters, and every week we gather together to pray matins every Monday, and then evening prayer every Wednesday, and there's Bible studies and movie nights and pretty happening schedule.
Now,
a
you
lot
just
of opportunities to learn.
You just had a retreat. Tell us about the retreat.
We had a great retreat just this past weekend. The theme was Defending the Faith with C.S. Lewis, and we had Dr. Stephen Mueller up from Concordia Irvine, who talked about Lewis's apologetics and quite a bit about his life and writings, too. It was very good, very well attended. I think everybody loved it.
And I've had the opportunity to be at ULC many times over the years. In fact, I always tell the story that when I became a young campus pastor, your former campus pastor, John Pless, who's now at the Fort Wayne Seminary as an associate professor, was there. And I came and spent a week there just to learn what a campus ministry should even look like, because I didn't really know. As many of our listeners know, you all lost your building. We don't have to rehearse all of that. But you meet, you kind of have an interesting place to meet. And how is that going for you?
Well, it's going well. We bought a house. It used to be a sorority house on campus. and made that our headquarters. And it's added a whole another level to our campus ministry in the sense that we now have resident students there who are there all the time. So we've got 9 guys living there who are part of the campus ministry. And we are busy raising money to build a new church right next to the campus house. So it's going well. And the congregation's healthy, and the campus ministry's healthy in spite of all the things we've had to go through. So I thank God for these huge blessings he's given us.
And you where do you meet for your services then?
We rent a chapel right now from Luther Seminary, which is the ELCA seminary about 2 or 3 miles from us. And but we only use that on Sunday mornings.
Sure.
And they treated us well, but we're very eager to be right back on campus and be able to serve more students just by proximity, you know.
Tell us a little bit, our listeners, I don't want to spend too much time because we brought you on today to talk about college students and their devotional life. But tell us a little bit about the Build It Back campaign. Where can they learn more about how they can get, if any of our listeners want to get involved and help you guys out a little bit?
Yeah, we started a fundraiser called Build It Back a few years back to try to rebuild this chapel. And we have a blog called buildulc.org, which is where all the information is. And there's a donate button there for people who want to give or who want to get information to spread around. We have a new thing called a prospectus that we put out, which shows our whole plan, which I'm happy to mail to anybody who wants it. So they can go to the blog and check that out, or they can just email me, too, and request copies of that, and I'd be happy to send it to them.
Okay, fantastic. So, Pastor Kind, you just recently published a devotional book. And tell us a little bit about that.
Devotional book is a light word for this thing. This is 22 years of research. It started out as being about 1,280 pages of liturgical prayers that I whittled down to 740 to get it published.
Conciseness is one of your gifts.
Yeah, right. Well, it's what's called a breviary. And a breviary is a book that contains everything one needs to pray the church's traditional daily prayers. So that's what this is. It has something for every day of the church year and several times a day as well. Everything you need to be part of the church's historic prayer.
And so this is a pretty comprehensive resource then.
Yeah, this is very comprehensive. It starts out each day with matins, followed by 6 other services throughout the day. So somebody could literally be praying, if they did this every day, all the time, they'd be praying 7 times a day. Not long things necessarily. I mean, some of them are a little longer than others. Some take 20 minutes, some take 5 minutes. But it starts with matins, ends with compline, services that people might be familiar with from our hymnal. But then it has all of the things that change day by day, including Bible readings, psalms, readings from the church fathers for each day, prayers for the week, that kind of thing.
And what is this resource called, this breviary?
Yeah, it's called Oremus, a Lutheran breviary. And it's big. I'm holding it in my hand, and it's a sizable book. it's really rooted in, like I said, the church's ancient liturgical prayers. So when the early church was developing, the church would gather together every morning and every evening for corporate prayer. And then people were encouraged to go home and pray throughout the day as well. So there were sort of natural times of prayers that developed. I mean, morning and evening are fairly natural times. This is when the sacrifices were taking place at the temple in the Old Testament.
Sure.
And so Christians kept that pattern going in the New Testament of gathering together to pray, just as they would have gathered together at the synagogue at those times to pray. Hmm. But then during the day, they were encouraged to pray on their own as well. And there were basically 3 times where this took place, around 9 a.m. or the third hour, if you're speaking biblically, the sixth hour noon, and the ninth hour, 3 p.m., which also correspond to a lot of events in the Gospels, like the coming of the Holy Spirit, sure. Crucifixion of our Lord, the death of our Lord. That sort of thing. Eventually, these things developed into formal liturgical prayers along with the morning and evening prayer. And then people said, well, we should also pray when we get up in the morning, first thing, and then when we go to bed at night. So when you add all of those together, you end up with seven of these prayers throughout the day. And that's what this book presents to you, is the seven prayers that the church historically has prayed throughout the day, is a way to both hallow time and keep oneself firmly in the word and grace of Christ.
And those are fantastic reminders for all of us, but especially our students. But before we talk about, you know, the place of this for the life of the college student, how did you get the idea? You know, why did, you know, where did your interest in developing this start, and why did it take you 20 years?
Well,
I can understand to a degree because it's a big book, but tell us a little bit about, what drove you to develop this?
Well, it started out with a real interest in just liturgical theology. Why does the church worship the way it does? And why are we a liturgical church? Why do we pray do the divine service on Sundays and not something else? And a lot of it flows out of our Reformation theology that says we are the Church Catholic. We hold on to the things that are good, that have been passed down to us from before, because these things present the gospel to us. They drive us to Christ. And it struck me that it was interesting that we kept the main service, but the other services of the church that had been handed down to us had fallen into disuse. I mean, we had, at that time, Matins and Vespers in our hymnal, and then Compline was introduced, along with a couple of other services, which are sort of hybrids. There's a morning prayer and evening prayer. But these weren't really the same thing as what had been handed down before the Reformation. And I started wondering, where did these things go? What happened to mm-hmm. them? And lo and behold, I discovered this, along with some other students at the time, discovered this treasure of the 7 hours of prayer that the Roman Church never lost, although there's major problems with the way they do it, just like there were with major problems with the Mass at the time of the Reformation. But Lutherans somehow had lost this thing. And so that sparked my interest, and I began delving into it, and I quickly found out that there were very few resources for private liturgical prayer or even corporate liturgical prayer for Lutherans. There were a couple books that had come out that had kind of laid out things for the week. There was one called The Daily Office by Herbert Lindemann, which was really good.
Yeah.
But it was missing a lot. And I couldn't find anything. So I thought, this is something that needs to be done. And began working on it and developing it and figuring out how best to apply the principles of Reformation liturgics to it. That we keep what's good, but we jettison what's contrary to the gospel or what would lead people away from the gospel, that sort of thing. And then, how should this thing fit together, and what are the best things to keep, what are the best things to jettison? It just took a long time to figure it all out. And then once you figured out how you want to do it, to actually put the material together and have it in a usable form. So that's why it took 22 years. Actually, the bulk of those 22 years was finding the patristic readings for every day.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. The amount of research that you've done, and I can't even imagine the proofreading and editing and the charts and all the different things that go into this.
Every time a prayer book would come out that was better than what we had before, I kind of set it down and say, okay, well, now we have this.
Well, and sure.
I'd start using it, and then I'd eventually get disappointed. And I need to keep working on this project.
I have a whole shelf in my office. It's nothing but devotional books, and I can find little bits and pieces of all of them that are like, I really like this, I really like that, I use this for that, I use this for that other thing. Then of course CPH put out a wonderful resource in the Treasury of Daily Prayer, and
right.
Of course now we have the new hymnal, which is not so new, it's almost 10 years old, but can you use Oremus in conjunction with some of these other things, and especially
maybe
absolutely. The hymnal?
This is kind of the beauty of it, is that even though it's designed as a standalone breviary, I realize most people are not going to take the time or even have the time necessarily to actually pray 7 times a day. I mean, I don't even have that much time to do that. I'm a pastor whose job it is to be in the Word of God. So I look at it very much as a resource for daily prayer. And I encourage people to not feel like they have to follow everything that's in the book, but to use what's in the book that's helpful to them. And for instance, at UFC, when we pray matins every Monday morning, we use matins out of Lutheran service book, but then I use the readings and the psalms out of the breviary, out of Remus, and I use the readings from the Church Fathers out of there. So I end up with somewhat of a hybrid, but the point is you can use it with whatever your devotional pattern is. There's something in here that's going to be useful to you.
And so turning the changing gears just a little bit, but really highlighting this in the life of the college student, why is this so important? You know, the development of, I mean, obviously we know, and we're always telling young people, you know, when I became a campus pastor, you know, more than anything, we have programs, we have fun things to do, you have Bible studies, but it's really about the heartbeat of the life of corporate worship. But ultimately, this is a resource also to really help people in their daily devotional life. What is the difference, and why is this so important in the life of the college student to really establish a sound devotional pattern?
It's extremely important because it helps us to bring what we've received in the divine service on Sunday forward into the week, so that we have this an ongoing connection and conversation with Christ through his word. I look at prayer, which is what this is really about. It's about organized prayer, or prayer life, if you will, as something that aligns us or realigns us with Christ. You know, we're surrounded by all kinds of worldly things, some good, some neutral, some quite bad, that take our eyes off of Christ and off of the greater realities of his kingdom, of which we're now a part by our baptism, right?
Absolutely.
So what daily prayer does and daily devotion is it keeps us aligned with him and reminds us of who we are and what our place is. You know, is my citizenship really here? Or is it in the kingdom of heaven? And I realize, of course, that we have dual citizenship, right? We're in the world, but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
We're sinner and saint at the same time, all of these things. But the overarching reality is that I am Christ's, and therefore my citizenship most truly is a heavenly citizenship. And the language that I speak, therefore, is the language of the kingdom of heaven, which is the language of prayer. And the language rooted in the word of Christ. So daily devotions help anchor you into this reality. In the Small Catechism, Luther does this when he says, for his suggestions for daily prayer, in the morning when you wake up, make the sign of the Holy Cross and say, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why does he do that? Because it anchors you in this reality of who you are, who Christ has made you, what your life is about. And so the devotions of the Christians throughout the day build on that reality and both hallow the Christian's day and then realign the Christian to the things of Christ.
That is absolutely dead on and well put. You use the word anchor. Our college students, you know, it's really easy, I'm sure, to look at a book and you're sitting there holding it. I haven't gotten mine yet. I'm going to order it today and we'll tell you about how you can go about and do that in a moment. But in reality, you know, when I was a campus pastor, I used to hear this all the time. Yeah, I know I need to develop my devotional life, but I don't know what to do. Where do you start? How is having a resource like this helpful in that regard?
Well, it gives you a pattern to follow. And I think that's probably the most important thing, is to establish a pattern.
So the structure of having a structure is actually conducive to helping develop that.
Think about this just in terms of your normal life. You wake up in the morning, you have a pattern you follow. You get up, you know, you take a shower, you brush your teeth, you shave if you're a man. Well, I guess you shave your legs for a girl. I wouldn't know about that.
Well, you never know. There might be some men out there shaving their legs too. But anyways, let's move on. That's a whole other program.
but my point is that there's a pattern you follow every morning. I find in my life, if I screw up that pattern, I sometimes forget things. Like I'll be in the car and I'll go, oh my gosh, I forgot to shave because my pattern was disrupted. And it's very easy with prayer and devotion to not do it simply because you don't have a pattern in place that you're following. You don't have a routine. So routine is key here. I mean, in the Old Testament, this is why the Lord tells them, do these things on these days at this time. It's to establish a routine so that they, this will become part and parcel of their existence. So it, I don't think it's that important exactly what the routine is. So long as there is a routine that's established, that is built around the Word of God, and this is key, praying the Psalms. The Psalms are the heart of the church's prayer, and I think they're really the heart of all Christian prayer. They flesh out what's given us in the Lord's Prayer, for instance. So what's covered very, very briefly there can be sort of expanded and breathed through the Psalter.
So you're a college student out there. You know, I always have a heart for the students that don't have, you know, don't have a student house and other students to hang around with the way they would like in terms of a burgeoning up their Christian faith, and they feel alone. You always have the Psalms. You always have, you know, developing these patterns. You know, for those of you that are college students out there, you got to, I mean, if there's a group of people that need anchors, I mean, think about it. You go to college, everything's new, everything's different, everything's off the wall, crazy, you're away from home. I mean, this is really, if you've not done it, isn't college almost the greatest time you could think of to really develop and cultivate your devotional life, next to, of course, having the pattern of it as you were younger?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the ideal is that people grow up with this.
Oh, sure.
But that's an ideal that, I mean, frankly, I never grew up with it, and I had good Christian parents.
No, and we should all face it. All of us can have, we're all in the needs improvement category in this regard, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. So that's the ideal, but as soon as you can, you should try to cultivate some sort of a daily devotional life. And like I said, it's not so much what you use, what pattern you follow, but that you establish a pattern. So I tell people, you know, you may not want to start with a Ramus because it's a pretty intensive approach. There's a lot of stuff in here. It's a great resource. But I suggest people start with what Luther gives in the Catechism and just establish a morning and an evening ritual of getting up, making the sign of the cross, saying part of the Catechism, praying the Lord's Prayer, saying the Creed. The one thing I would add that I think Luther was remiss on here is the Psalms. That the Psalms should be the heart of the Christian's prayer life. And, you know, whether you're praying one or three or five, you know, it doesn't matter. The point is, use the Psalms. The Psalms are the inspired prayers that God has given us to use.
Well,
and they cover every part of life.
Sure.
I mean, any condition you find yourself in life, you're going to find it reflected somewhere in the Psalms and spoken of in a way that's right. So again, when we talk about realignment, this reframes the way we approach life and the way we think about things, even our worst problems and fears, as well as our triumphs and joys. They're all encapsulated there and given proper expression in light of Christ and our place with him.
Well, Pastor Kine, we just have about a minute or so left here, and we want to thank you for joining us to have this conversation and to encourage our college students. How can someone get a Ramus?
Yeah, if you're interested in getting the book, go to lulu.com. It's a self-publishing website. That's where we've published this. And just look up Oremus, O-R-E-M-U-S, which is Latin for Let Us Pray. Oremus Lutheran Breviary, and it'll take you right to it.
And we'll put the link up along with the archive for this program.
Thanks.
But if you
buy from Lulu, you're also donating 10% to the Build It Back program at UNC.
Yeah. And if you get it from Amazon, it is a bit pricey. It's a big book. It's $59, something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
If you get it from Amazon, you give about $5 to Amazon as a part of it. If you go through Lulu, you can also help with the Build It Back campaign. So anyways, Pastor Kine, great to hear from you. Thanks for providing this resource for the church. And we look forward to catching up with you again sometime. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me, Pastor Zell.
Hey, take care.
Domine,
closing time here in the Student Union on the beautiful campus of LCMSU. God's richest blessings to all of our students out there. Say, let's work on the pattern of our devotional life together. What do you say?
Consult the Book of Mormon.
Study hard. Get yourselves to church, and of course, make sure you find time to join us every week right here in the Student Union. Don't forget, you can download all the archives of this program at kfuo.org. Remember, college is tough. If you need Jesus, we'll help.